Chapter 19. Intrigue in the U.S. Court of Federal Claims. The omnibus autism proceeding was held pursuant to the National Vaccine Injury Compensation Program, established by the National Childhood Vaccine Injury Act of 1986. As the listener will recall, this act granted liability protection to vaccine manufacturers. As a compensatory gesture to the parents of vaccine-injured children, the Act established an Injury Compensation Trust Fund administered by the U.S. government and funded by an excise tax on vaccines recommended by the CDC for children. As was the case with the swine flu affair of 1976, the government was apparently surprised by the number of claimants. Over the span of the 1990s and early 2000s, thousands of parents claimed their children had developed autism shortly after vaccination. A total of 5,617 petitioners were aggregated into an omnibus autism proceeding in the Court of Federal Claims that began in 2002. In response to this potentially catastrophic liability, the administrators, called special masters instead of judges, asserted that the proceeding would begin with three test cases to determine if there was evidence of a causal link between administration of vaccines and the autism syndrome purportedly suffered by the children of the other 5,614 petitioners. These cases were selected to test claims based on the following three theories: MMR vaccines and other thimerosal-containing vaccines can combine to cause autism. Vaccines containing thimerosal cause autism. MMR vaccines alone, with no mention of thimerosal, can cause autism. We believe that these narrow claims of causality, postulated by the claimants' attorneys and their expert witnesses, were doomed to fail. During the 1990s, several attorneys got initial traction in civil courts with the claim that thimerosal toxicity caused autism. We can't help wondering if at least some of these lawyers, knowingly or unknowingly, led their clients down the primrose path with this strategy because it left them vulnerable to the counter-argument that autism does not resemble mercury poisoning closely enough to justify a plausible claim of causality. We believe that a far more plausible theory is that some children are susceptible to having an injurious neurological reaction to receiving shots containing multiple pathogens, live attenuated and inactivated, and adjuvants all at once. Space does not allow for a complete telling of the convoluted, confusing, and appalling omnibus autism proceeding. Author Wayne Rode presents a thorough account of it in his book, The Vaccine Court: The Dark Truth of America's Vaccine Injury Compensation Program. Suffice to say, the U.S. government and the vaccine manufacturers it was protecting had a vast incentive not to acknowledge the causal link between vaccines and autism. It is therefore not surprising that the process was manipulated by outside interests and that medical experts and petitioners were subjected to intimidation. An especially intriguing passage in the omnibus autism proceeding, the stuff of a mafia thriller, began with the expert witness testimony of Dr. Andrew Zimmerman, a pediatric neurologist from Kennedy Krieger Institute in Baltimore. 6 weeks prior to the start of a test case hearing, Cedillo v. HHS, Zimmerman submitted an opinion to the court stating, "There is no scientific basis for a connection between measles, mumps, and rubella, MMR, vaccine, or mercury, HG, intoxication, and autism." However, on June 15, 2007, he explained to Department of Justice attorneys that they should not interpret this as a blanket statement. As he later put in an affidavit about the incident, "I spoke with DOJ attorneys, and specifically the lead DOJ attorney, Vincent Metanke, in order to clarify my written expert opinion. I clarified that my written expert opinion regarding Michelle Cedillo was a case-specific opinion and not intended to be a blanket statement as to all children and all medical science. I explained that I was of the opinion that there were exceptions in which vaccinations could cause autism. More specifically, I explained that in a subset of children with an underlying mitochondrial dysfunction, vaccine-induced fever and immune stimulation that exceeded metabolic energy reserves could, and in at least one of my patients did, cause regressive encephalopathy with features of autism spectrum disorder. I explained that my opinion regarding exceptions in which vaccines could cause autism was based upon advances in science, medicine, and clinical research of one of my patients in particular. We now know that his patient in particular was Hannah Poling, daughter of Dr. John S. Poling, MD, PhD, Department of Neurology and Neurosurgery, Johns Hopkins Hospital. At the time that Dr. Zimmerman wrote his initial opinion, he somehow didn't know that Dr. Poling and his wife Terry were petitioners. It seems odd that he didn't know this because just 1 year earlier, he published a paper with Dr. Poling entitled Developmental Regression and Mitochondrial Dysfunction in a Child with Autism, in which they described Hannah's case. A 19-month-old girl was born after a normal full-term pregnancy. There was no family history of autism or affective neuromuscular or hearing disorders. Her development was progressing well, with normal receptive and expressive language and use of pre-linguistic gestures, such as pointing for joint attention. Imaginary play and social reciprocity were typical for age. She used at least 20 words and could point to 5 body parts on command. Several immunizations were delayed owing to frequent bouts of otitis media with fever. Within 48 hours after immunization to diphtheria, tetanus, and pertussis, Haemophilus influenza B, measles, mumps, and rubella, polio, and varicella, Varivax, the patient developed a fever to 38.9 degrees Celsius, inconsolable crying, irritability, and lethargy, and refused to walk. 4 days later, the patient was waking up multiple times in the night, having episodes of opisthotonos, and could no longer normally climb stairs. Instead, she crawled up and down the stairs. Low-grade intermittent fever was noted for the next 12 days. 10 days following immunization, the patient developed a generalized erythematous macular rash beginning in the abdomen. The patient's pediatrician diagnosed this as due to varicella vaccination. For 3 months, the patient was irritable and increasingly less responsive verbally, after which the patient's family noted clear autistic behaviors such as spinning, gaze avoidance, disrupted sleep-wake cycle, and perseveration on specific television programs. All expressive language was lost by 22 months. Hannah's vignette closely resembled that of many children who have developed similar symptoms within 48 hours of vaccination and then regressed into autism. However, unlike most of the other parents who possessed no medical authority, Hannah's father was a neurologist at Johns Hopkins Hospital. Although Hannah presented no symptoms of mitochondrial dysfunction prior to receiving the vaccines, the paper's authors considered the possibility that the dysfunction was an underlying genetic abnormality whose expression was triggered by the vaccines. As they put it, this patient exemplifies important questions about mitochondrial function in autism and developmental regression. It is unclear whether mitochondrial dysfunction results from a primary genetic abnormality, atypical development of essential metabolic pathways, or secondary inhibition of oxidative phosphorylation by other factors. Shortly after Dr. Zimmerman explained this to the DOJ attorneys, something very strange happened. As he put it in his subsequent affidavit, "Shortly after I clarified my opinions with the DOJ attorneys, I was contacted by one of the junior DOJ attorneys and informed that I would no longer be needed as an expert witness on behalf of HHS. At the time of the above-referenced conversation with the DOJ, I did not know that Hazelhurst v. HHS or Poling v. HHS were potential test cases in the OAP. In my opinion, and to a reasonable degree of medical certainty, Yates Hazelhurst suffered regressive and encephalopathy with features of autism spectrum disorder as a result of a vaccine injury and the same manner as described in the DOJ concession and in Poling v. HHS. Though Dr. Zimmerman was dismissed before he could testify in the Cedillo hearing, his original affidavit was presented by these same DOJ attorneys as a blanket statement denying the link between vaccination and autism. With ruthless mendacity, DOJ attorney Vincent Matanowski stated in his closing argument for the test case Hazelhurst v. HHS, "I did want to mention one thing about an expert who did not appear here, but his name has been mentioned several times, and that was Dr. Zimmerman. Dr. Zimmerman actually has not appeared here, but he has given evidence on this issue, and I'm going to quote from Respondents Exhibit FF in the Cedillo case, which is part of the record in this case, as I understand it. There is no scientific basis for a connection between the measles, mumps, and rubella MMR vaccine, or mercury, intoxication, and autism." As Dr. Zimmerman later stated in his affidavit about this incident, "In my opinion, the statement by Mr. Matanowski during his closing argument regarding my expert opinion was highly misleading and not an accurate reflection of my opinion regarding Michelle Cedillo, which was not intended to be a blanket statement as to all children and all medical science." The DOJ attorneys recognized that Hannah Poling's case posed a formidable challenge to their blanket denial of the link between vaccines and autism, especially considering that their own witness in the Cedillo case, Dr. Zimmerman, had concluded there was a link between autism and vaccination in the Poling and Hazelhurst cases. And so, the DOJ attorneys dismissed Zimmerman before he could testify. They then made a separate settlement offer to Dr. John Poling and his wife, Terry, in November 2007. There was, however, a catch. In return for making this concession and settlement offer, the court required that the deal remain secret and the evidence remain sealed. The public would never have known that the government had conceded the link between vaccination and autism in the Poling case had the special master's concession memo not been leaked to reporter David Kirby, author of the 2005 book, Evidence of Harm, about vaccines and autism. Kirby was a regular contributor to the New York Times, but he published his report on the Poling concession in the February 25, 2008 issue of the Huffington Post, which subsequently retracted it. The following day, Kirby published a copy of the special master's concession memo. After Dr. Poling learned about the DOJ's dismissal of expert witness, Dr. Zimmerman, and its deceptive use of his initial affidavit, he and his wife gave a March 6th press conference at which they stated, "The results in this case may well signify a landmark decision with children developing autism following vaccinations." The conference was the subject of widespread media reporting, and the vaccine cartel responded with a damage control campaign. Serving as its chief propagandist was Dr. Paul Offit, who penned a New York Times opinion, Inoculated Against Facts, March 31, 2008, in which he made several assertions about Hannah's case as though they were settled science and not merely his biased opinion. He then proclaimed, "On its face, the court expert's opinion makes no sense." 5 days later, the New York Times published a letter to the editor from Dr. Poling and his wife Terry, in which they stated, "R.E., Inoculated Against Facts, by Paul A. Offit, op-ed, March 31st. Our daughter Hannah developed normally until receiving 9 vaccines at once. She immediately developed a fever and encephalopathy, deteriorating into what was diagnosed, based on the Diagnostic and Statistical Manual of Mental Disorders, or DSM-4, as autism. Dr. Offit's assertion that even 5 vaccines at once would not place an unusually high burden on a child's immune system is theory and risky practice for a toddler's developing brain. No one knows if Hannah's mitochondrial dysfunction existed before receiving vaccines. Dr. Offit's claim that Hannah had already weakened cells is unfounded. We support a safe vaccination program against critical infectious diseases. We need straight facts, serious science, and speedy answers on these important issues. The government's concession to Hannah Poehling's parents was a means of removing her case from the omnibus autism proceeding so that it would have no bearing on the test cases and the court's decision for the other 5,617 claimants. About a year later, in February 2009, the court ruled that none of the test cases had shown a causal link between vaccines and autism, and it therefore denied compensation to all the remaining petitioners.